I'm Stan Wright, and we're in the midst of hearing from the five candidates for UP Poet Laureate, succeeding Russell Thorburn later this year. And in this week's interview, we're going to hear a previously recorded interview by phone with Beverly Mathern, who recently retired from her English professorship at Northern Michigan University and who specializes in bilingual poetry. Here is a portion of that interview.
I'd like to begin by reading some short poems, and the first is going to appear in a wonderful publication edited by Ron Reike called Here, Women Writing on Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and it's called Spring. I hear you hissing in the distance. Soon you come round the bend, roaring and drifting. Pound on me, sun frost spring. I am smooth creek bed rock. And then I thought I would do one from my new book coming out from Les Éditions Personnages in Canada. The book's title is Blind River and Bayou des Acadiens in French. It's called Feu Follet. It's a collection, by the way, of prose, poetry, and short fiction, or short stories, I should say. By March, the Japanese tulips were bare. Their lilac petals on the ground so soft that she lay upon them, naked, her body opulent, the sky clear overhead. No one in town knew anything about it. How her hair came undone, her hair black and luminous in the sun, her hair, its waves, folds of a funeral dress spread on the still cool ground. No one in town knew anything about it. Her body smooth, her body moist beneath soil, fingers lengthening, circling, shard and root. No one knew anything about it. The tide coming in, the tide going out, breath of her body, the pull from earth to moon. Breath of her body, votives in the holy night.
The concept of music in your poetry has been kind of a continuing thread. Do you hear something of a musical cadence as you write, or does it just happen?
I hear music. I hear a musical cadence as I'm writing, especially with those blues poems I've done. And I don't know where that comes from. I think it's a wonderful gift from God, you know. I'm thankful when they come.
You don't have a musical background or a family members close to you as you were growing up who were musical?
Well, I grew up in Cajun country, you know, just west of New Orleans, and so I grew up surrounded by Cajun music and blues and jazz, and so all of that I suppose I've internalized.
I was going to say a little osmosis must be involved here.
I think so.
Okay. The subject matter of your poetry has always been a wide-ranging subject matter. You do enjoy working with history and certain characters in history, such as Cadillac. You've done a couple of collections based on that individual. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of fun for you to look into the lives and activities of these people and then respond with poetry?
Oh, it really is. And, you know, I never would have, of my own accord, ever written such a thing as, you know, a bunch of prose poems on Cadillac, founder of Detroit. But I got invited to a wonderful celebration, a tricentennial celebration in Windsor in 2001. And so I wrote poems for that event. I was invited to do that. And one of the reasons I was invited is because they wanted them in French. And they wanted to prove that after 300 years, French was still alive and well in North America. But what I loved about writing that book, a couple of things. One, it freed me utterly of anything of my own personal material. And that was very refreshing. Two, I had to make multiple trips to France and live for a while in Cadillac's hometown along the Garonne River in southern France in order to be able to write the book. And that was a marvelous and fascinating process.
I'm sure it was.
Met so many interesting people, archivists and, you know, museum curators, and it was just great.
Of course, the French language in North America has really found many different flavors developing over the centuries. And with being in Cajun country as you were growing up, you were hearing the sounds of the French language being melded with the culture in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
is there a particular dialect, French-based dialect in North America that's kind of favorite of yours?
Well, I guess in North America, my favorite dialect, to be honest, is the one that I grew up with and that I try to replicate in my writings. And my Cajun French differs a little bit from that of the Bayou Cajuns closer to Lafayette and on into the, you know, the Texas border, because my own two parents, like my father's people, came directly from France in the early 1700s, and then my mother's people on one side came directly from Lyon in the mid-1800s, and then those strains of folks intermarried with the Acadians. And so we've got all this wonderful Francophonic mixing.
It's almost hard to, I imagine, distinguish between the pure root of the French language and where it goes from there.
Yeah, and not to mention that while in Canada, the Acadians were very much influenced by the Mi'kmaq tribe. The Mi'kmaq is a politically correct term today. And so that sprinkled all through Cajun French is a lot of Mi'kmaq words. So that's fascinating, too. There are words you would never hear in Parisian French.
Wow.
The interesting thing is a fair number of Quebecois were people who escaped the Acadian exile. So there would be some Acadian French in Quebecois French, too.
Dialects within dialects.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my.
Very rich and very interesting. And I feel in a way that, you know, I'm keeping it alive by writing bilingually the way that I do. And the poet Jane Hirschfield once said that my Cajun poetry was a Rosetta Stone for Cajun language and Cajun culture. And I like the way she put that.
What a great compliment. Yes. Now, of course, the writing you do is each poem is written both in the English form and in the French or French derivative form, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's meant so that it's not particularly pigeonholed for a particular audience. It's meant to expand people's knowledge of the French language.
You could say that, I suppose. You know, in the next book coming out, the Blind River book, the French in there, in some of them, for example, I have some folk tales, and they push all as far as you can towards Cajun French. But then I have short stories that are written in very elegant Parisian French. And so I experiment with it all. And I feel like it's all part of me, since I spent quite a bit of time studying French in France. And I've spent a lot of time perfecting my French in the classroom, where, you know, the standard was a grammar from the Sorbonne and, you know, Parisian French. So the interesting thing is that Cajun French for so long was not a written French at all, but just passed on by word of mouth. And it's as of about 20, 25 years ago that a couple of handfuls of people from Louisiana have actually put that language down on paper.
I'd like to swing over to something a little more regional in my questioning, and that is regarding this nomination for you to possibly receive the UP Poet Laureate designation. What was going through your mind when you first got wind of this?
Well, first of all, I was delighted about it, and I was very surprised that I came out in the top five, and delighted about that. I've quite fallen in love with the UP, and there's quite a UP influence now in a lot of my writing. For example, in that Ron Reiki book, the book he edited called Here, I have a long 10-part prose piece that's set in Ishpeming. But it expands and it takes on, you know, universal application. In one of my stories in the new book, there's a character who's from the UP. So I've been very much influenced by the UP. The spring poem I just read, for example, the waterfalls and rushing creeks as the winter snow melts, that's a UP phenomenon.
Yes, it is. The possibility of becoming Poet Laureate for the next couple of years for the UP, do you hope that since you do like very much to do public readings and poetry performances, you'll probably have a very full plate?
Oh, yes, I would. I would indeed, and I would love every minute of it.
All right. Is there anything else about your writing or your work as a poet or, for that matter, an editor or a collector of poetry that you would like to add about this?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people say that I'm preoccupied with death in my poems and in my stories, and I suppose that's true. But I do write about them, you know, quite lyrically and with a lot of passion. I think it's that kind of thing that makes poetry exceptional, you know, rather than being too much preoccupied with something every day. However, the talent of the poet, of course, is to take something every day and make it highly exceptional through the music in the poem, whatever it takes to make the language of poetry something more charged than just regular prose.
Well, I wish you all the best on this possible becoming the UP Poet Laureate for 2015 through 2017, Beverly.
Thank you so much,
okay.
Dan. Bye.
Bye-bye.